Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat. They got great meat.
Dirt and Spray.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Spray here. Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan. The Fan Sports Network. The Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Thursdays are going great. Thanks again to Josh
Pate. You have to win the game.
To win games, you got to win the game. Who's going to win the games this weekend? We got to make our big pack picks coming up in a little bit.
Yeah, Thursday Night Football.
We got Thursday Night Football.
Semi-local flavor.
We got Seattle in Arizona taking on the Cardinals.
Look, last weekend's game is the easiest response to this. It's Thursday. I hate this game because nobody should have to play that quickly.
Yeah.
No juice for this.
No juice at all.
I find Arizona not a...
Arizona has been a juiceless organization my entire life, outside of 1 year.
I find Marvin Harrison to be a bit of a bust.
Yes.
Kyler has little moments with his little legs, but... I don't know. There's no juice for this game.
I heard Fortenbaugh before we hopped on our show when I was driving in. He basically said that I think Murray's lost like 14 straight games against NFC West opponents or something like that, or like 1-13 in his last 14. It's something crazy.
I think it's seven straight, and then
seven
I think
straight,
the record
okay.
is that. Yeah, it's terrible.
Not winning these games, man. Not winning these games. What do we make of Josh Pate and his take on Oregon and Penn State? Said they're playing with house money, Josh Pate said.
Well, you know, the only thing I would say is I am curious about the Knowles factor, and it very well could prove that he was told internally, change this or get out, and he had to change it, and they played better. And then he said, I'm out because you made me change
it. It's also a convenient thing. Like, this is an Ohio State message board thing I've seen this week where they're basically saying he had no control over what they called defensively in the Rose Bowl. And I don't know if that's a fan base who's trying to convince themselves that they're fine without Jim Knowles,
sure,
or if it's the, you know, either way, who knows what the reality was behind the scenes.
I don't know either. But what I would say is, I will go back to one of my points. Rush defense is a big deal for Oregon, right? That's the area of concern or question going into it, given what Penn State did in the Big Ten title game. I will continue to hammer mine. I really want to see what that Oregon offensive line does against the pass rush.
Yep.
I think Penn State's got a really good defensive front, and I know Abdul Carter's not on that team anymore.
Sutton's going to be a first-round pick.
But yeah, they're loaded anyway. They still have talent, and, you know, Oregon... they've not largely been challenged by a defensive pass rush. Oklahoma State was the most lifeless. Yeah. Montana State was never going to do it. Oregon State was never really going to do it. And so it's more just, what is that front going to do on the road in that environment when that crowd is going rabid on 3rd-and-9?
Yeah.
Those are the moments for me that swing these kinds of games. And so I'm not going to pretend I'm X's and O's guy either, but I am curious what the X's and O's impact is going to be with Dante... line on road, hostile environment.
No communication, hard to audible and check, all that.
Great pass rush.
Yeah, they were, reporters got down to practice at Autzen yesterday and they said that they could hear Mo Bamba blaring. That's Penn State's big third down song that they play. Mo Bamba and Lanning had a quote. He's like, I don't like that song. Probably heard it a bunch. They probably have been playing it a ton in practice just to get ready for it. We'll have some more thoughts on this game tomorrow. We'll talk to Dane Brugler coming up here in a little bit about the NFL impact of it and the guys who are going to the next level. I asked Pate a question there at the end. He didn't really answer. He kind of skirted around it. Maybe he's just saving his material for tonight.
Yeah.
Because I do think there's a lot of candidates for it. And I got to be honest with you. When he threw the Florida State-Virginia line at me, I had no clue they were playing on Friday, and I had no clue that line was less than a touchdown.
So one little note on that. I wouldn't gamble it if I could gamble it because what?
It seems like a trap. This is a Ken Barkley trap.
Well, Castellanos got kind of banged up. And so I'm just kind of curious, is there something we don't know about that?
Is he not
him?
Available? Is he 50%?
I haven't heard anything, but that line being that number absolutely raises your eyebrows, and I just have to conclude, does this involve the quarterback?
Yeah, they played Kent State last week, and they won 66-10.
He left the game.
Yeah, they have not played anybody since their win over Alabama in week one. I asked him, though, where is the upset? Because I think there's you could go a million different places, man. Really, I know it might not be in terms of like overall ranking because they're close. I think USC losing to Illinois after what happened to them last week would be an upset. Notre Dame can't avoid another loss. They're on the road at Arkansas.
Yeah.
We know the Ohio State-Washington situation.
Indiana.
On the road. Where is the one for you that you circle more so than any others of that one? If I'm a fan base of that team, I'd be terrified going into Saturday.
Well, I think a lot of people should be on upset alert if you want to play that game.
Yes, there's a million of them you could pick. That's why this weekend's so good.
Yeah, I'll give you one kind of flying under the radar. I'm circling Georgia Tech at Wake. I'm just kind of curious.
Little Jake Dickard magic.
I just wonder. Notre Dame is not a sizable favorite at Arkansas.
No.
And Arkansas just choked away against Memphis. So do they have any kind of response?
Yep.
Taylen Green can be terrifying to prepare for. The one I'm looking at is Auburn A&M. Does the week off have any rust factor with Marcel Reed? And I think what we saw from Auburn is that Auburn defense is good.
They're going to be competitive in games that they play in.
So that's certainly one. And I will say it. I know they're only, a two-number difference in the ranking. Dude, I have defended. I have had you yell at me over it. Lincoln Riley, can you please nut up and go win a real road game, please, of actual note?
Well, Purdue doesn't count?
No.
What are you telling me?
No
counties?
It doesn't.
No counties for the
no,
Boilermakers?
No, it doesn't. Go win this game.
Can't lose that game if you're USC.
Illinois is an 8-4 at best team. At least that's what I thought they looked like last week. And
they
maybe
just
7-5.
Lost by 60 points to Indiana.
Go win the game.
You can't lose that game.
You cannot. You have one of the higher-powered offenses in the entire sport. Of 130 teams, you're in the top 3 or 4 of it. Statistically speaking, your quarterback looks confident. Your defense is flying around enough. You cannot lose this game. That is it's not a massive upset, but it's the one amongst all of them that I'm you cannot lose.
Yeah.
No ability to lose that game.
I don't know how. And look, the Dirty Poll at one point had them in there. So, we all make our mistakes, right? We all then get new information and should adjust. How is Illinois still ranked?
Because of Bielema,
they
is
just
my
lost
only guess.
By you can't lose a game by 60 points and still be ranked. I don't care who their only win was against Duke, and that has aged worse because Duke's lost a couple of games. Tulane went on the road and beat them. Illinois has no business being ranked in the top 25.
I'm going to give you something you're not going to agree with whatsoever.
Okay. What do you got?
USC has to win more than Penn State has to win.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to say it.
Look
I don't care if Franklin's going to go 4-21 if he drops to the Ducks and 2-18 in his last 20. Dude, it's year effing 4. You know what I think I can count on? Franklin to lose to Oregon and Ohio State and win every other game
it'll
and get
10-2.
To a
you know it'll be 10-2.
And you know what? They'll bitch and moan, but they'll be in the playoff again and he'll go, what do you want from me?
We're in a playoff game and everybody will be fine. Yeah.
Hey, Lincoln. Year two, you got a quarterback, you got a defense, enough is enough. That team lost by 53 points. Go do it.
Not to mention their stretch after this. They get Michigan at home, on the road at Notre Dame, on the road at Nebraska. And that's not counting a road game at Oregon later in the season in the second to last week of the year. So the schedule's tough after this. Now, this is going to be music to your ears on this note. Sometimes the synergy lines up. If you ask Dan Lanning, I'm pretty sure he got asked this question 20 times about playing at 9 a.m. at Northwestern. What's his answer? Just kick the ball off at 3 o'clock in the morning, play it in a parking lot, we'll go play it, we don't care. Not the approach of Lincoln Riley, the man who helped blow up a 100-year-old institution in the Pac-12 Conference to go play games all over the country in the Big Ten, had this to say about the Big Nooner.
We've tried to be aware. I'm the absolute latest kick in the country to the absolute earliest kick in the country is has its challenges, but the challenge is, it is what it is, right? We don't make the schedule, and so... clearly. And so we've had to adapt a little bit in the way that we prepared and how much that we've done. And even when you go back to, Purdue being a factor now, being so late and getting back so late, it compounds if you're not careful. So we've tried to be mindful of getting our work done, but at the same time, knowing that we need to take a fresh football team. We need to put a fresh football team on that airplane.
Did he just cite Purdue coming
3 weeks
from the Purdue trip?
Because it was a weather delay, don't you know? Hey, maybe if you don't want to have to travel a lot, you shouldn't go to the Big Ten. This is what you signed up for, man. I don't know. This isn't as bad as some of his other complaints. He's had a few of them over the years at USC.
Well, I just,
this is what you signed up for, dude. You're playing a conference that goes from Los Angeles to Piscataway. Mm-hmm. You're going to have early games. You're going to have late games. The TV networks get to decide all of it, and that's why you get to make a full share at like $90 million a year. I just, some of this stuff with him makes me roll my
if
eyes.
If you did a coach's schedule preference, like you do a ranking and a coach sends out his schedule, would every big coach pick like 4:30 p.m. kick?
I think so, yeah. Probably 12:30 because you get up, you're not sitting around long enough. You know, you don't have to wait around all day. It's enough time to get your pregame routine in and then go kick the game off.
Dude, it's not a good take. I totally get it. I'm not kidding. USC has to win to me more than Penn State.
Yeah, that's just one. I mean, both of them are under a ton of pressure, obviously, for different reasons. But to your point on Penn State, if they lose the game, I don't think anybody will pick them to win at Ohio State. But let's also wait and see what we see from Ohio State in Seattle. And I got some notes on that game for either today or tomorrow that I want to get to. But we know that at the worst, Penn State this year is going to be 10-2. They don't lose to teams that aren't named Oregon, Ohio State, or Michigan. Like, those are the only games that they lose.
Also, their schedule, I think, outside of those two games,
they're going to beat everybody else. They will beat everybody else on their schedule. That's it. I think the point you're trying to make on USC is that if you do lose on the road to Illinois, what does it mean for your next three games?
Dude,
doesn't
you're mean at you can't UCLA, win any of them, Northwestern, Iowa. They do have Indiana on there, but it's at home.
Yeah.
Like,
Indiana's a little bit different on the road than they are at home.
Penn State's going to lose. Penn State win or lose, nobody's going to pick them to beat Ohio State in Ohio State.
No, even if they win the game, probably a lot of people won't pick them to win the game at Ohio State because that's James Franklin's history, and they'll probably be underdog in that game.
Even if they beat Oregon, they're still not going to be picked to beat Ohio State.
So it's an unbelievable slate, man. I remember doing a segment back in August of like, or even July, like I think I found the best sports weekend of the fall. We get the Ryder Cup, an unbelievable college slate, good NFL games. Not so much tonight, but.
Well, we'll see. Maybe it'll be a good one.
Could deliver. But some great stuff going on this weekend. Where are the upsets for you? Let us know. 503-864-6326. We'll talk to Dane Brugler coming up at the bottom of the hour. Let's get our Big Pac picks in. Let's do that coming up next. We'll get our Big Pac picks in. We'll move on. We'll get back into Oregon Penn State from an NFL angle at the bottom of the hour, and then get to some Thursday night football and some other stuff to wrap up the show. Who's winning and covering this weekend? That's next. 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Boom goes the dynamite. We ready to make our Big Pac picks?
Do it.
Who's ready to make Big Pac picks?
Me.
Here's how we did last week, gentlemen. Sprager's running away with his thing. We got to catch up to you. 2-0 weekend for you, taking the Beavs, who covered by a point, and the Huskies, who covered comfortably. I took Washington, missed on Oregon, so 1-1 week. Swag took the Ducks and the Cougs.
They tried to talk him out of the Coug thing. And
tried to.
He felt good, I bet, about that for a while.
I bet in that third quarter you're feeling great. Like,
yeah,
hey,
it's a one-tutty game. Here we go. And then the turnover bug. So.
I got some room to spare
I don't
here.
Know. I might let Casey make my picks
this
week.
See if Casey wants to make the picks
you know
for
what?
You.
You know what? If you're going to let him make a pick, give him the microphone. Let's hear one of the picks, okay?
All right, so here we go. Season standings now for this weekend. Sprager 8-4. I am at 5-7 after a Kiss Your Sister weekend. 1-1. Swigard's at 3-9. So, there's only one way to go, and that way is up. We will start Friday night in our Big Pac picks.
We have not talked much about this game at all.
And we'll talk about it tomorrow. Yeah. You know, there's a little bit of a bigger one going on.
Oh, you don't say.
It's a little more on the line.
Yeah, go Beavers!
Although, does your coach get fired if this gets ugly? Probably not.
No.
Houston is at Oregon State. The line right now on A&A. No hooks, no under. You're right. Square on the dot at two tutties.
It's at 14?
It's at 14 on the nose. Dude. Friday night, Houston at Oregon State.
This opened at 11.5. I just want you to know it. So everybody coming in, I'm not going to argue anybody on this. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say plus the 14 because I think they lose by 14. Push number.
We would get a push if that were to happen.
Yeah, so I'm going to take the push number. That is not a confidence in Oregon State.
Okay.
This is a Houston sluggish start off a week. Bigger game next week. Okay, we'll stop farting around. We pull away. I'll just say take the plus 14, but not in a I like Oregon State. Just a,
okay.
Hey, we won by two touchdowns. We're good.
Casey, who do we like? Making Swag's picks.
I mean, as much as I got a ride for my Beavers, two touchdowns might be a little bit too much. Two touchdowns is a little bit too much for my liking.
Okay. By the way, that's Casey.
Hello, Casey.
He's training. He's our new employee.
Yes.
This is probably a bad omen for Beaver fans, so I apologize ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
I will take Oregon State.
Well, now you're making me want to reconsider.
Short week for Houston.
Yeah. Well, no, they were off last week.
Doesn't matter. Short week for Houston.
They had more rest.
Okay. Get your facts out of here.
All right.
Traveling.
Yes.
Friday night game.
Yeah.
Who do they play next week?
Is it Tech or is it Utah?
I don't know. I think they play somebody good.
Juggernauts, yeah.
They play a good team next week.
Yes, they do.
Oregon State, dead animal on the side of the road. They're a carcass. We're trying to scrape them off the road.
Oh, yeah.
You get the dead animal impact for this game. Give me the Beavs plus 14. I apologize ahead of time, Beaver fans. Let's go with Saturday at 12:30. This line has been fascinating to watch. Dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping. I got a note on that we'll get to maybe later on in the show.
It's Tech, by the way. It's a home game against Texas Tech.
That's a big one. It's a big kahuna.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like, a big kahuna.
Hey, we're up two touchdowns.
We're playing Oregon State. Nobody's scared of Oregon State. Like, we're going to win this one easy. We got Texas Tech next week.
Yeah.
Washington hosting Ohio State, 12:30 on CBS. This line is all the way down to 8.5. Huskies plus 8.5.
Man, this is tough. I've been thinking about this a lot, and some people, you know, Kugelud's laughing at me. He thinks this is going to be 31-3 at halftime, Ohio State.
Yeah, look, he hates the Huskies, and I do too. This is not going to be 31-3 at halftime. You got a young quarterback making his first start on the road, and Washington can move the ball on people. Their offense is legit. I don't know about their offensive line holding up for four quarters.
That's what I worry
about.
And
for a full season, but like they're not going to get ran out of the building in the first half of this game.
I feel stupid doing it, but I'm gonna bite. I'll take Huskies plus 8.5.
Okay.
I don't feel amazing about that. I won't be shocked in any way if Ohio State runs away with it. But I think that crowd can make an impact. I don't trust the defense a whole lot, but I like what they got going offensively. So I'll play into the 12:30 kick.
12:30 kick.
Just a perfect kick time.
Oh, weather should be perfect. Yeah.
Like, I'll play into it. Huskies plus 8.5.
Okay, Casey, we like Washington covering 8.5, or you like Ohio State in a blowout?
Yeah, I like Washington. It seems like every year Washington finds himself in a game like this where it's like, okay, against a good team, number spread seems like it's in their favor. No reason not to take the Huskies.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go. If this line stayed where it opened, I would have been all over it.
14,
like 10.5,
right?
14.5, somewhere north of in the double-digit point spread range.
Yeah.
You know what the hell? I'll give you my anecdote right now or my little note.
Sure.
There has only been one other time in the last 20 years in which the number one ranked team in the country was only favored by single digits over an unranked team. Only one other time that this has happened. And the only other time that it happened was the Linnea Kukua Manti Te'o Notre Dame Fighting Irish, number one team in the country. Last game of the year, they played at USC. They went on to win the game. They were only favored by 4.5. Remember, that was that Notre Dame team that kept eking out win after win after win, like barely ever. It's like, how's this team undefeated? They ended up winning the game and covering. 22-13 was the final in that game. It's only the second time in the last 20 years that this has happened. A ranked team versus an unranked team with a single-digit point spread. Now, Washington should be ranked. We can feel however we want to feel about them here locally. That it's laughable that they're not in the top 25.
Illinois is still ranked.
Illinois is in the top. Like, it just, what are we doing here? Notre Dame's got two losses and they're ranked. Like, come on, man.
But just if you give me a single-digit point spread, I think the Huskies are going to keep this game competitive.
Mm.
I don't think they have the horses in the trenches yet, and I just think Ohio State will wear them down as the game goes on, running the football on them. So I'll take Ohio State to backdoor it, but I think the Huskies keep it competitive.
Never forget that game. He was playing for his dead girlfriend.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Gone too soon, yeah. Linnea Kukua.
Yep.
Next one up, this one's at 4:30, I believe, is when Colorado State, Washington State goes down. What channel is it on? Let me see if I can find that. CBS Sports Network, 4:30 on Saturday. The Cougs, the Zevi Eckhouse-led Cougs are on the road at Colorado State. Colorado State is favored by 5.5.
I'm going to unfortunately take Colorado State here. I think this is an easy, hey, we hung with Washington. It was fun. It was exciting. Look at us. Last time they went on the road, one of the worst, if not the worst, first half performances I've ever seen in my life.
Raise your hand if you took them to cover that weekend.
That's okay. I mean, who knew anything about North Texas?
Ouchies.
I'm going to bite, and to be honest, I hate to say this. Largely been working in my favor of fading the Cougs, so yeah. I'm going to fade the Cougs.
All right, Casey, you're Pac-2 brethren. You taking the Cougs to cover 5.5 at Colorado State?
I can't. I think you guys were right on the nose about, especially after that North Texas shocker. It's definitely in wraps.
We need to pull that from Casey.
I can't do it. Yeah, this could make it 3-for-3. I also worry about the hangover come off of a, you know, rivalry game.
Oh, yeah.
I think they put a lot of eggs in that basket.
Yes.
Sold out crowd. I just.
Yeah.
Sub-touch. You give me north of a touchdown, maybe I'll contemplate it. But I don't think I'm going to gamble the Cougs on the road again until I see them look like a football team on the road. So that'll be 3-for-3 for Colorado State. And last but not least, ladies and gentlemen.
Here we go.
Right here on the Fan, Saturday night. The Big Kahuna, as many people are calling it, also on NBC, is where you can watch it. The line right now at A&A, it's been pretty set. I haven't seen a lot of movement in it all week, although a lot of money has come in on Oregon from the public betting side.
Mm.
Oregon getting 3.5 on the road at Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Oregon's going to win outright, but I'll bite with the points. I'll take the hook. I tend to agree with Pate's takeaway of, like, how often do they blow opponents out? Now, certainly there's a world that exists where they get a late touchdown, minute and a half left, Dante Moore and the offense come up short, they win by a touchdown.
Yeah.
I'll take the 3.5. I think Oregon can absolutely win this game outright. I think Lanning's going to have his team fired up, ready to go for this one, leaning into the wideout with the mummy uniform. Like, I'll take it. I'll take Oregon plus 3.5.
Okay. Casey?
Yep, definitely taking Oregon plus 3.5. Oregon is 13-5 against the spread in their last 18 games.
How about that?
Look at that.
Look at Casey coming in with stats.
He's bringing stats to the Big Pack Picks.
Get out of here, Swigard. What do you need you for?
Swigard's record might be on the come up now.
Uh-oh.
He's liking the number.
Yeah, but I like the Ducks here.
Okay.
Oh, I wonder where the next guy is going to go. It's a big mystery. What shirt is he wearing?
Who could it be?
I don't know.
Who could I pick?
Has he ever picked against him?
I don't know. I don't know. Give me the Ducks, baby.
Oh.
Give me the Ducks.
I can't believe it. I'm stunned.
Here's what I will say. The first quarter to me of this game is fascinating. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, obviously. And with Dane Brugler here in a moment.
Yes.
Because of everything that Pate laid out and just kind of the feeling in that fan base of big games and James Franklin and the long trajectory of what has not been accomplished, the first quarter is so important, I think. Of like, if they come out and go three and out, and the passing game isn't clicking,
mm-hmm.
like, where are the groans at? What is the crowd doing? Like, their offense, I've gone back and watched all three of their games this week because I didn't see them all live. They played nobodies, and the games were largely blowouts eventually. But going back and watching some of those, like, there's just some, like, moments their offense looks
ugh.
And I know that Oregon has had a turnover and that, you know, Oregon State made a punt and, you know, there was that. But if you go back and watch the Penn State games, that's been, like, a good chunk of the first half in all three of their games where it's just ugh. And if their offense comes out that way against Oregon, that crowd is going to be not thrilled, I'll say that. And mm-hmm. I do think that helps Oregon a ton. If they can get off to a good start in that game and kind of quiet the crowd down, I will take Oregon covering the 3.5 and win an outright, bitch.
We got him, boys.
There you go.
We spend to win.
You better not get blown out of Penn State, dude. I think you're going to hate a lot of the narratives if they lose by double digits.
I think everybody's going to be miserable if Oregon wins on Saturday night.
Well, there is that possibility.
Yeah. I was told they were going to lose 3 or 4 games this year.
Oh, really?
I was told they weren't in the same class as some of the elite teams
four
in the country.
Look at them.
I was yelled. I'm not looking. I just happened to glance that way.
I'm not looking at either of you.
Look at the camera. You all said it. I saw you all. Nobody's giving us a chance. No, Danny Morang told me that. He said they're going to lose three or four games this year.
You know, sometimes you are the worst. Like, your team wins, you're in a good position. Your team loses. Well, so what? It's no big deal. I hate you.
Yeah, I'm going to have some fun Monday if they win. And you can have your fun Monday if they lose. That's the beauty of this radio
show. I'm going to have fun Monday, too, because Friday is...
Yeah. Off the mat, Beavs. That's what we're calling you. On the board, Beavs.
Monday's Monday.
We're on the board, Beavs.
Cover town.
Remember when I had to do a... We're going to cover town.
What a Friday game. Cover two touchdowns.
Remember when I had to go attend my own baby shower the day after my team lost the Pac-12 championship to Washington?
We all make our own choices in life, Andrew.
Well, that wasn't really my choice, but I digress.
I mean, you chose.
It wasn't really my choice.
You chose.
Yeah. I'm entrapped. It's entrapment.
Why we're doing a couple baby showers now in our society, I don't know. Who started that trend?
All right, Dane Brugler. He covers NFL draft topics for The Athletic. Had a great piece on all the NFL draft prospects in this game and the scouts and what they'll be watching for. What does he make of the matchup and the NFL prospects on film? That is next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we talked about it in a million different ways, and we will again tomorrow because it's a pretty big game on Saturday night, Oregon and Penn State. One of the angles of this game that does make it really interesting is the level of NFL talent that is on the field. And let's talk a little bit about that with Dane Brugler of The Athletic, and he had a great piece up that you can go find, basically highlighting all the guys who are going to be potentially first-round draft picks and guys that might be going to the next level. Dane Brugler joining us now of The Athletic, and you can give him a follow on Twitter, at DP Brugler, NFL draft analyst for The Athletic. Dane, good morning to you. When you look ahead, like not even just this year's draft, maybe this is too complicated of a question to answer, but if you combine some of the younger players on each side of the ball, how many future first-round picks are we thinking have, or guys have the potential to be future first-round picks playing in this game on Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking double digits. And that's when we talk about, you know, some of the games Ohio State plays and some of the games that Georgia plays. And whenever we get a matchup like that, we see it's almost like an NFL scout convention because they want to get eyes on these players. And Oregon going to Penn State, this is one of those games. Oregon, with the way that they've, especially under Dan Lanning, the way that they've acquired talent, developed talent, they're big in NIL, where they're going to spend money to get guys, get talent. And then with Penn State, they always develop athletes. And so these are two programs that have produced a lot of NFL talent traditionally, but also recently here the last few years. And I think it starts with the quarterbacks. This is a headline game for both quarterbacks. You know, on one side, you have more of the unproven quarterback in Dante Moore, who has been lights out throughout the first few weeks of this season. But it's fair to say the competition has not really been to the point where you feel comfortable that he's truly been tested. Penn State will change that, especially in that environment, on that stage, the whiteout, going up against a defense with several future pros. This will be a much better test for him. And then on the flip side with Drew Aller, a guy going into his third year as a starter, teams are really wanting him to take that next step. And, you know, this is Penn State. They went to the playoff last year, won a few games. Drew Aller has a lot of things to be excited about with him at the next level. But going and making a statement in a game like this against a really good Oregon defense, that would carry a lot of weight.
Dane, I love the work that you do, and I'm just curious, when you first heard the name Dan Lanning, as just whether it was an assistant or when he got the Oregon gig amongst maybe NFL people in college football, when you're really evaluating prospects, and how much in his short tenure he's elevated Oregon as one of maybe the premier programs that NFL scouts are always on alert for, given the amount of talent coming out of there.
Oh yeah, there, I mean, I knew of him at Georgia, but you know, you never know. A guy who doesn't really have that head coaching experience moving up to be a head coach at a premier program, there's always a little bit of unknown there. And credit to Dan Lanning, because I think he is a really good example of what a program builder is. Because it's not just about recruitment, it's about development. And in today's world, retaining those guys, which is not always an easy thing to do. As a motivator, his players, former players, they always talk about him, the connection that he makes with his players, just, you know, not only on game day, get him hyped up, but throughout the week, and understanding, there's an understanding there of, okay, this is what we need to get the best out of ourselves. And so, yeah, Dan Lanning, I think, has been a name that even pops up when, you know, NFL jobs come open, as a guy that, you know, just to keep on the radar. And it was something that I don't think, you know, head coaches get enough credit for, is the support staff as well. You know, to bring in a guy like Will Stein, and, you know, to for him to run the offense, and what that has meant for the success of this team. That's a, you know, huge part of a head coach's job, is to make sure the assistants are the type of coaches that are going to get their players in the best possible position. And Dan Lanning's done a tremendous job doing that.
Yeah, we're talking with Dane Brugler of The Athletic. You can go give him a follow on Twitter at DP Brugler, NFL draft analyst for The Athletic. His piece out earlier this week. You can check out Building the Beast, Oregon Penn State set for the NFL prospect showcase on Saturday. And you mentioned Aller and Moore. I'll hold my next question for a little bit later. I am curious, where are you at on Drew Aller? I don't know how to feel about him. The size, the metrics, like all that stuff looks great if you build it in a lab. And then you watch him, and there's times that I don't understand it. Where are you at on Drew Aller? And especially with the start that he's off to, where at times their offense has been incredibly clunky. How big is a big game for him on Saturday night?
It's pretty substantial, because Aller's a player who had obviously a five-star guy, so had a lot of hype coming in, and he took a big step between his sophomore year and his junior year last year. It wasn't always perfect, but he took a big step, and that's what you want to see from quarterbacks. So this year, scouts want to see him take another step now as a senior, and this is going to, the first three games, it's been fine, but he has four passing touchdowns. Hasn't lit the world on fire. And so this is the type of game at home against a premier opponent where we want to see him take that next step. The size is outstanding. The arm strength is terrific. I really like the way he can read out the entire field. But I think the biggest area of concern that scouts are looking for is they need to see better rhythm with his footwork, with the way he moves in the pocket, and then the way he executes down the field in his progressions. And so that rhythm, the footwork, that's where my eyes will be on with Drew Aller. But like, this is a quarterback class that is just thirsty for a quarterback one. right. Yeah, there's a lot more excitement for this quarterback class compared to last year, just because there's a lot more names, a lot more potential. But who's the real quarterback one this year? Arch Manning has, you know, obviously he's not ready for that. Dante Moore, the way he's played, I mean, I don't want to, have Oregon fans worrying about losing him after only 1 year as a starter. But the way he's played so far, that's at least that, you know, he's going to be in those conversations. Drew Aller's in that conversation as well. And I think my biggest thing is with these quarterbacks, if I've learned anything doing this the last almost two decades, is just to keep an open mind. You know, Joe Burrow went to the NFL after his third year. He would have been a third or fourth round pick. Yeah. Jaden Daniels, after his third year at Arizona State, State, he would have been a fifth round pick. You know, guys, especially a quarterback, they get better. They, you know, that there's no substitute for experience. And so for both Alar and for Dante Moore, the experience of this type of game, this type of stage, that'll go a long way for their development the rest of the season.
It's an interesting matchup because the big uglies on both sides of the trenches have some pretty notable names, as you guys put in the article. I love tasty matchups when you have NFL talent against NFL talent. Like, one that I think will eventually be NFL talent against NFL talent is not one we'll see. Like, A.J. Harris, as you know, could be the first Penn State cornerback ever taken in the first round, and he's going to go against Corian Moore, who's not eligible for the draft yet, but it's still a really exciting matchup. What is one with two NFL guys that you think are going to be in the draft this year that you're just fascinated to see? How does this guy do against that guy?
I'm looking at both left tackles. I think that for scouts' purposes, you know, we know the NFL wants offensive linemen. All 32 teams need more depth on the offensive line. Both these teams have really talented left tackles. Isaiah World for Oregon, Drew Shelton for Penn State. Both these guys have the size. They have the movement skills. I really like their athleticism. They get themselves out of compromised positions, that initial quickness, they close space on defenders. But both of these guys have had some pretty bad losses so far in the 2025 tape. It has been far from perfect. And obviously, World coming over from Nevada, you know, a new system, new offense, new teammates. There's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. But this is the type of matchup against Denai Dennis Sutton for Penn State where, you know, you better be on your P's and Q's to make sure you stay in front of him and shut down any type of edge presence. And it's the same thing with Drew Shelton. You know, we know what Oregon's defensive line can do. And so this is that's going to be, you know, the game inside the game. The quarterbacks are going to get most of the headlines. But I'm really focused on these left tackles, too, to see if they can hold up on the edges and give their quarterbacks time to make plays down the field.
Yeah, that's a great point. You can even look at last year's matchup. I'd argue Connerly and the way that he played against Abdul Carter ended up having a huge impact on him going in the first round because he was outstanding in the Big Ten championship game. Go check out the piece on The Athletic. It's a really fun read if you're looking at the NFL side of this. Building the Beast, Oregon-Penn State set for NFL Prospect Showcase on Saturday night. It should be a ton of fun. And give them a follow on Twitter, at DP Brugler, NFL draft analyst for The Athletic. Dane, thanks so much for the time in Portland, man. Enjoy the game Saturday, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Dane Brugler of The Athletic, talking draft side of all of this.
He might be
a lot of pressure on those tackles, man.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
On both sides of it.
Yes.
Mateo and Sutton and trying to block those guys.
Absolutely.
Not going to be easy.
I mean, Mateo already came into the season with so much, hey, NFL eyeing you for maybe a top 10 pick, depending on what your season's going to be. And he's going to go back into this game. That Sutton versus World matchup is, man, it's so massive. It's great to talk with him about kind of looking ahead to some of this stuff just because you get a real feel of like, okay, that guy I am seeing, he really is looked at this kind of level. I think Dane is one of the best that does it for the NFL draft.
Sometimes it does just mean more. I'll tell you what that means. Get to it next, 105.1 FM, The Fam. Well, sometimes it just means more, Bob.
It means more. It
means more. And this, I think, is the summation of that. And it's not even a team who's been around. It just means more for that long. But the internet can be a very nasty, ugly place. It could be a place that makes us hate each other and yell and argue. And then there's little things that pop through on social media that make me go, you know what? What a great use of the internet. I'm glad it's going to a good purpose now. And that fan base that's doing it, have you seen what Oklahoma fans have done to the doctor who is operating on John Mateer's hand?
I have a little bit of a problem with this.
Oh, okay. So for those who haven't seen it, Oklahoma fans, they found out the name of the doctor. Dr. Shin is his name. They found out the hospital in which John Mateer will be having his hand surgery. It was announced, we talked about it yesterday. He's going to be out for a couple weeks and he needs hand surgery.
Dr. Shin becoming a hand doctor is the upset of the
century.
Isn't
that great? I mean, come on. Shin was right there. Yeah. And they have made, like, I'm not kidding you. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of Oklahoma fans who have found this guy's picture and his information in his hospital and have made, like, mock hype videos with like pump up music behind it. There's one where somebody did like an AI generated operate like a champion today. Hit the sign today, Dr. Shin. They are all in and supporting this guy. Some of them showed up to the hospital to try and cheer him on as he walked into the operating room. And there's times that we roll our eyes that it just means more. There's times that the internet can be ugly. This is one for me that I'm like, you know what? That's pretty funny. You're that diehard and that involved that you're finding out the name of the doctor having surgery on a player.
Yeah.
Kudos to you, Oklahoma fan. Boomer Sooner.
It's funny because it does mean more to them. They didn't need to be in the SEC for that phrase to apply.
No, it's always meant a lot to them.
It's meant every... go to Oklahoma. Oh, high school football and Oklahoma Sooner football is... That's it.
That's it. It's life.
Oklahoma State, Thunder, good luck to you. Good title, Thunder. I don't have a problem with this.
Oh, what's your beef? You going to poo-poo this? Cheering on Dr. Shin, who's now a celebrity in Boomer Soonerland.
What I would say is I do love like when the Bills donate to a charity of a loser player. It's kind of a weird, cool thing that they do of like, hey, Mark Andrews, you suck. But you know what?
Thanks for dropping that 2-point conversion. We'll donate to your charity.
We support your charity. It's a cool thing that they do. Isn't this what the money's for? If I tell Oklahoma they're going to win the SEC and go to the playoff, do I get anything?
No, you don't.
No, but the guy who does the job he's paid to do gets a gift.
You're upset that you're not getting a hype video for being high on Oklahoma at the start of the year?
It's like watching
Sprague.
It's like watching the celebrity show up to the Oscars, and it's like, what's in the grab bag? Yeah, it's like everything you can't afford.
You know, you're not
wrong.
That
they can afford, but they're getting it for free.
How much do you think is the average salary of a hand surgeon?
I mean, a hand specialist who's operating on a quarterback, I can't fathom he's making less than 7 figures.
Oh, there's no... Yeah,
so
right?
Does he need the fans to do that? I just, you know.
This says the average, it can range anywhere from basically $500,000 to $800,000 a year for your run-of-the-mill average salary.
I don't think he's a run-of-the-mill hand surgeon operating on a run-of-the-mill hand. That guy might be the number one pick in the draft.
Would you ever do this in any of your fandoms?
No.
There's no player or athlete that could get you to have surgery that you would get to go cheer on the surgeon?
No. What was the guy everybody goes to... Oh, man, was it for the knee or was it the Achilles? What's the guy?
I know who you're talking about.
Everybody goes to him.
It's like one surgeon who did a million of the same surgeries. Was it Tommy John? Was it a Tommy John guy? Or was it an Achilles guy?
Maybe it was a Tommy John guy.
It's like one guy who operates on one thing and everybody goes there when that injury happens.
I feel like Favre went and saw him when he had a ham thing in his career. So, do you know who we're talking about? The surgeon that does Tommy John surgery. Everybody goes to
Dr. Andrews?
Dr. Andrews, thank you.
That guy,
making good money.
Do we give that guy free stuff and say thanks for saving our quarterback?
I mean, he's no Dr. Shin, man. He's no Dr. Shin.
He's making $12 million or more a year. No big deal.
Just means more. I can't tell you who operated on Evan Stewart's shoulder, but I hope they did a great job. I'd go cheer him on if I could. Give me the name.
So you would be like the Peyton Manning, here we go, assurance adjusters, here we go. That's what you'd be at a hospital.
Cut that meat! Cut that meat! I'm going to go be that guy. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show.
See, we need to support those jobs.
The meat cutters? Let's support the meat cutters.
Dude, my local sanitation worker who does an exceptional job.
Who's picking up John Mateer's trash? Cheer him on.
Exactly.
Thanks for cleaning that trash.
Exactly.
Let's take a walk down memory lane to start the final hour. We got to get to Thursday Night Football. Two teams who copied Oregon's uniforms. Will they wear the copycat uniforms tonight? Are the Cardinals going Oreo uniforms? On a Thursday night?
Have you seen the uniform release?
No, I don't know what they're wearing tonight. That's what I'm asking.
Cardinals have duck uniforms?
Remember they did the Oreo McFlurry uniforms with the sand specks and their, what are they calling this?
The
City Edition, whatever that is for the NFL. These are the two teams that everybody pointed out and said, wow, they just kind of copied Oregon's homework. So it'd be
funny. Look up what the Arizona Cardinals, I would assume it's the normal red.
I don't know what they're wearing tonight. So we'll see. And then we'll get to that. We'll got some baseball notes. Lots to get to in the final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.